Let's pray.
Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for the opportunity to gather here today in your house. Things often happen in a way we would not draw them up, Lord, and with different people like James and my daughter not feeling well today, Lord, we miss them. But in their absence, we gather here to glorify you and to baptize those who have decided to publicly say we are following Jesus. We have declared him and proclaimed him and received him as Lord and as Savior. So help us to understand what that means through your holy word. Help us to celebrate that today through the teaching of your word, through song, through fellowship, through prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at two passages. As I look at my watch, it's about 11:17. So I'm going to spend probably about 20 minutes talking about just a couple passages in the book of Acts and then two passages in the Gospel of Matthew before I go into the men's locker room and Tom comes up. Acts chapter 8, Philip, you don't have to turn there, you can, or if you have a Bible app, whatever you decide, or you can just listen. But Acts chapter 8, this is the account of Philip, the evangelist, who goes down to Samaria, and on his way to Samaria, thereafter, he meets an Ethiopian eunuch. And this is one example of water baptism in the New Testament after the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Philip goes down, and he's on this desert strip, and he meets this eunuch, and we're going to pick it up in verse 35 of chapter 8, and I'm just going to read a few verses. It says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came up, came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What's stopping me from being baptized? And Philip said, verse 37, If you believe, if thou believest with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and he baptized him." A couple things here. Notice what the requirement was. Believe with all your heart. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's it. At least in this account, Philip had begun preaching Christ, specifically Isaiah 53, to this eunuch. And God opened up understanding to him of who Jesus Christ actually was. Indeed, the Messiah, the chosen one of God, the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. And after that message was proclaimed by Philip, the Lord gave that understanding. He illuminated those scriptures in Isaiah to the Ethiopian eunuch. Therefore, there was a conversion that took place. And what would be the next step? The Ethiopian eunuch said, can I get baptized? What's going to stop me? What hinders me? And the question would be for you today, what would hinder you from being baptized? The requirement is you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he paid the price for your sin. It's an act of obedience. It's not an act of salvation. Had the first part not happened, the water baptism would have been irrelevant. You could dip yourself underwater 152 times. That doesn't save you. We know by the thief on the cross that water baptism, and that's one example, is not necessary for salvation, but it is an act of obedience unto our Lord. Much like this, today I wear my wedding ring and I never take it off. I just don't. Sometimes when I'm in the sun and I get really dark, like I came back from Italy, you'll just see a white ring around my finger if I did temporarily take it off. This is not my marriage. This is not my marriage. This is symbolism of my marriage. This means I am married to Leslie. It's a symbol. Much like water baptism is that you are married to Christ, that you have put your faith, your hope, your trust in Christ, that he is the Son of God. If you have not been water baptized, I would encourage you to. I would encourage you to. Does it have to be at a church? No. Where was the Ethiopian eunuch baptized? Just in a body of water. Do you know there's people that are disabled? They actually can't get out of the wheelchair, and people will go in and dump a cup of water over their head. It's symbolism. It's symbolism. It's obedience to doing what Christ, as you'll see momentarily, told us to do. It's a commission. It's part of that great commission. And so, example number two, Acts chapter 2. Pentecost. Pentecost. They're all gathered together. This is Peter's first use of the keys we talked about last week or a couple weeks ago. And we're going to just look at verse 37 and 38. And the gospel, guess what? Just like much like Philip did in a one-on-one setting with the Ethiopian eunuch, Peter does to thousands as they're hearing the good news of Jesus Christ in their own language and they're understanding it. And they think Peter is drunk, but he's not. They think that these people are drunk. They're not. They've been baptized with the Holy Spirit and empowered to speak the wonderful works of God in a way that gave understanding to the hearer, much like it did with the Ethiopian eunuch. So in verse 37 and 38, it says this. Now, when they heard this, that's the glorious works, magnifying God through those multitude of languages, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What hinders me from being baptized? What shall we do? Listen to what Peter says. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Repent. There's another part, a precursor to baptism. Water baptism is repentance. Have a change of mind about who Christ is, like Philip gave to the Ethiopian eunuch via the Holy Spirit. A change of mind, by definition, that's what repentance is. A change of mind leads to a change of heart, which leads to a change of lifestyle, which leads to a change of speech. It changes everything. Behold, God makes all things new. You become a new creature in Christ. Repent, he says. This is what you must do. Conviction of sin comes upon you. You're transformed. You repent of your sin. He says, repent and be baptized. Baptizo, same Greek word we're going to look at. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, not some of you, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for what? The remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent, believe with all your heart, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Three pieces that are precursors to the symbolism and the act of obedience called water baptism. Let's look at Jesus. No better example. We'll look at two. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. This is in the Synoptic Gospels, the one account where Jesus says this. In Matthew chapter 3, the ministry of John the Baptist. John is baptizing people in the water, a baptism of repentance. And Jesus, as we look at Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, here comes Jesus, it says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. John got to baptize God. Why? To fulfill all righteousness. It's an act of obedience. This had to be done. Jesus is the example. Jesus is our example. It says in verse 13, as I just read, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto him to be baptized of him, but John forbade him. Probably a little intimidated, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and you come to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, or allow it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He says, this must be done. If we're to do things righteously, if we're to fulfill the scriptures, if I'm to fulfill the will of the Father, my Father in heaven, I must be water baptized. So what happens? And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway or immediately out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Why was the Father well pleased with the Son? Because it was an act of obedience to the Father, to be water baptized, to fulfill all righteousness. And so if you're feeling like you should be water baptized today, you still have an open invitation. You can hop in. You see, if you really want to do something, I've said this before, you'll do it, right? This morning, Tom called and said, I got some bad news. I said, what's that? It's about, I said, I've got enough bad news this morning already. No one turned on the water baptism. No one turned on the baptismal. I said, okay, well, what are we going to do? He's like, well, let me call Brian, and it might be really cold. I said, I don't care how cold it is. Okay, polar plunge. I'll do the polar plunge. Doesn't make a difference. People are doing that, you know, ice bath therapy, whatever that's supposed to do. I'll go in. It doesn't make a difference to me. Nothing will stop you today. If you want to get water baptized, you can come in with your clothes. You say, I didn't bring a change of clothes. Just come in and get water baptized. Why? It's an act of obedience. It fulfills all righteousness. It's pleasing unto the Lord. It's demonstrating before the house of God, before the people of God, I am now dead to my sins and trespasses. And when you come up out of the water, say, I am a new creature in Christ. I am following Jesus Christ, my Lord. I have repented of my sin. That's what you're doing today. So I mean that very seriously. You can come up and just crawl in or walk in. We'll help you. We will water baptize you if you're not on schedule too. That makes no difference. We're on God's schedule. Lastly, before I transition, we'll look at the Great Commission that I alluded to early, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and Jesus has been crucified. He's been buried. He rose again, fulfilling the scriptures. And he appears in Galilee, and he gives what's known as the Great Commission. Who is that for? For the disciples, the 11 that were there, and for us today as his followers. He says this in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing, that's baptizo again, same word, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded with you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Do you think it's important? Do you think that baptism, water baptism, is so important that Jesus would mention this? One of the last things he spoke to his people was to go and do this. Teach all nations, but also baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That means that isn't optional. He's not giving a choice. This is a command. This is a commission. If you're going to follow me, if you're going to proclaim my name, if you're going to be a witness for me, then I want you to fulfill all righteousness. I want you, as an act of obedience, to go down under the water and then come back up, picturing your new birth, as Barry read, picturing your new birth in Christ, symbolizing your new birth in Christ. It's a wonderful thing. You know, I did it at the age of, I believe, 12 or 13. I'll never forget it. And I've even thought, like my daughter Bria today, we'll have a rebaptism. She asked me last week, she said, on the phone, she said, Dad, I want to get baptized. I said, well, you were baptized. You remember? She goes, I know. Kind of like, you know, like a rebaptism. What am I going to say? No? No. You can do that. Why? It's symbolism. But I could tell you this. You're only born again once. There's no being born again. It doesn't work like that. And the requirement for water baptism, the precursor for water baptism, is you are born again. And I've said this before in the past. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. This is the celebration, the symbolism, the scriptural fulfillment, an act of obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ when you are water baptized. Not as an infant, I was water baptized as an infant. I'll tell you about it. I remember nothing about it. It wasn't me doing it. I had no choice in the matter. I couldn't speak. I couldn't understand. I have no recollection. God has no grandchildren. My parents made that decision for me. I don't mind it. Fine. It's what they decided to do. I had nothing in it. You, Jesus said, you must be born again. That's a choice you must make, to follow Christ or to deny Christ. And just momentarily, two people have made a decision to follow Jesus, and we will celebrate that by this act of obedience called water baptism.